and God could never forgive you for what you did. And I want to tell you that God's not mad at you. If you don't hear another word that's said today, I want to tell you that God loves you so much. He's not sitting there counting everything wrong that you've ever done against you. He loves you. He calls you His own. I want to tell you that you matter, and I want to tell you that you're worth something. For every lie of the devil that's told you that you're not valuable, that you're not worthy of the love of Jesus, I want to come against that right now and bind it up. That's a hindrance on your life that wants to dictate how you feel about yourself. And you know, the Word of God calls you the head and not the tail. He calls you the apple of His eye. And I want to tell you that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And God's not sitting there thinking, well, what a mess up I did. What a regret that I have. No, God's not sitting there regretting you today. God loves you. And I want to encourage you today. If you've been away from God, if you've said, you know, I'll get with you, God, when I've got some more things in my life worked out. You know what? Today is the day of salvation. I feel that very strong. If you've been away from the Lord, I want to tell you, come back to Him. Amen. Come back to Him. Not because your mom is here or your daddy's here or this or that. You know what? There's never been a better time to say, you know what, God, I'm coming back to you. I believe that healing is in this place this morning. If you've got infirmity on your body, I'm going to ask you to stand up in faith. I believe that God will meet you right where you're at. I believe in healing. I believe that the Word of God says that where two or more are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. I believe that the Word also says that by His stripes we are healed. That's not a we're going to be healed. That's a we are healed. That is right here and that is right now. The devil will give you every reason why something can't work out in your life, and God will give you every reason why it already is. If you're battling depression in this place, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you've got something in your life and you're saying, God, if you don't show up in this area, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Lord God, in Jesus' name, You see everybody standing up. If you're in your house right now and you're watching me on Facebook Live and I've just mentioned some things that pertain to your life, I'm going to ask you to get up off of your couch. Put your hands up and begin to serve the living God. Begin to praise Him. Begin to tell Him how much you love Him. Begin to thank Him for all that He's done for you. If there's some things in your life and they're not working out right now and you're stressed about them, I want to tell you that God is the answer. God's already taken up your case. What you need to do right now is begin to thank Him. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but God, it's by Your Spirit. So Lord, right now, I ask that the Spirit of healing begin to flow down through the bodies of Your kids. Lord, I speak to infirmity in this place right now, and I bind it up in the name of Jesus. Lord, You said in Your Word that You needed a binder and that You needed a looser. So right now, I bind up depression in this place. I bind up anxiety in this place. I bind up suicide in this place. I bind up every fear, God, that has been tried to put on Your children, Lord, and I bind that up. And right now, I lose peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. God, You know every problem that every one of us face, and God, right now, You're taking those up. Lord, I thank You that things begin to turn around. Lord, I thank You for the manna center. God, I stand in faith for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You that the architect, God, His drawings, Lord, are good. They're spot on. Lord, I thank You for the right contractor in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, God, that You are putting people in our lives. God, and You're taking the ones You don't want. You're taking them out. And God, I thank You for what You're doing, God, in this place, in Logan County. God, I pray a blessing over every single inmate in Logan County. God, I ask that You would save them from the inside out. Lord, for every drug dealer in this county, God, I ask that You would save them. God, I ask that You would stop them. I ask that You would clean up the streets of this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to Parish Christian Center. I'm glad to be here in God's house this morning. And how many of you know what a myth is? A myth is something that lots of people may believe, but you start investigating them and you start looking at them and they're not true. They're a myth. And so I want to preach to you this morning briefly on prayer myths. Prayer myths. Because you can believe a lie and be damned. I said you can believe a lie and be damned. Now, if there's any way a person could be offended listening to a preacher, I guarantee you, if that's the type of person you are, get yourself ready, because in the next 45 minutes, if I can be offensive, I probably will, because you know what? I like to preach out of the Word. If I don't have a chapter and a verse, I won't be preaching on it, because look here, that ain't God. And the Word of God can be offensive, because the Word of God will tell you that you're wrong when you're sinning. The Word of God will tell you that you need to make changes. The Word of God will tell you things, and there will require you to change. And so there are prayer myths that people believe. And you know, unless you're taught the Word, you may believe something, and that may hinder your blessings coming in. And I like to tell this story because I heard it and I thought, how true this is. But there was this family, and they had Sunday lunch every Sunday after church. And the daughter, she noticed that her mama always cut off the butt ends of the roast. She never knew why. Well, she got married. She started having the Sunday lunch at her house. Well, one day, she just got curious because she thought, why are we cutting these roasts? Well, she asked her mama. Her mama said, I don't know. My mama always did that. Well, then that mama, she called up her mama, and her mama was old. And she said, Mama, why does our family cut off the butts of these roasts? She said, well, back then, we could only afford a pan, yay big, and I couldn't fit the roast in there to feed the whole family. So there's times where you can grow up and you can think some things about prayer. And maybe you've acquired some things about God that's not exactly accurate. Maybe you've sat under something, or maybe you've watched something, or maybe you had a religious fanatic co-worker, and they really didn't show you Jesus. They really just showed you how self-righteous they were. Whatever the case may be, you know what? There's things that you need to know that you know because you know them. Not because your mama, but because you know them. And so I want to speak to you because your prayer life is very important. It's one of your biggest weapons. Your prayer life is important. And if you don't have a prayer life, you need to get one as fast as you can. Now, I'm going to put this down to where we all live. So many people and so many pastors will make prayer sound like you got to have a PhD to do it. You don't. Thank God. I would be plumb out of luck. Prayer is talking to God. That's what prayer is. I was at a meeting in the town, and I love our community. And we had a prayer day, National Prayer Day. They asked me to pray over something. I don't even remember. This has been probably 2 or 3 years ago. Well, when somebody asked me to pray over something, I am not going to write that prayer out just because I'm going to pray. And whatever I'm feeling in that moment, that's what I'm going to pray. Well, we get this guy up there. And I almost think he had a scroll. He got this paper, and that paper was pretty long, and he began to read. And we were about 7 minutes into that prayer, and that laughing devil got all over me. And I thought, God, help me, because this is terrible. I should not be laughing when this guy's praying. But I was laughing because I was feeling so dumb, because I was thinking, you know, I don't know all these big words that he's using in this prayer, and now I feel like I need to go home and look at the dictionary just to see what we just agreed upon. But there's myths about prayer. Go with me now to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And it says here, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The first myth that I want to talk to you about today, I've just read it. A parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. There are times where maybe you've been told or maybe you've felt, and I want to say that feelings are not facts. You can feel something, but that doesn't mean that that feeling is the reality. How many of you have ever felt like nobody loved you in the whole wide world? Well, guess what? You're wrong. You're very loved and you're very important, but in that moment, we've all felt that way. And there are times where we can feel that something is so far gone that not even prayer could help it. There are times where we get discouraged so much that we feel like, I've prayed about this a million times. Nothing's going to work. Look here. Always pray. Always pray. If you've ever felt like prayer can't help something, look here, that's a myth. Prayer not only helps things, but it changes the course of the whole situation. Always pray and don't give up. Do not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea. I want to bring this out. There was a widow that kept coming to him. Keep going to God. Keep going to God. Keep going to God. Don't go to the bottle. Don't go to the pills. Don't go to the telephone and gossip until you feel all better about the situation. Don't go to whatever it is that's your comfort thing that helps you and you think that, you know, whatever. Look here, go to God. Go to God. There are situations that literally only God Himself can help you with. This lady, she kept going to this judge. She kept going to him. She kept going to him. She kept going to him. Do you think she got tired of that? I'm sure she did. Guess what? He got even more tired of it. But you know what? A lot of times what's needed in your prayer life is persistence. 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 How many of you have ever met a flaky person? If your hand ain't up, you probably are the flaky person. There's your first opportunity to get offended. I told you I'd get it for you. Did that in 5 minutes. I know people, and I've been this person before. I'd say, Lord God, give me a this, or God, do that. Well, then the next 5 minutes, I'd pray something that would contradict what I just asked for the first 5 minutes. Keep going to God, but know what you're asking God for. Know what you're asking Him for. There's folks, they ask God for things, and if God really gave them what they asked for, their whole life would be in trouble. I told y'all that last week. If y'all have ever met my oldest son, he's a darling, but guess what? When I prayed for twins, God did not answer that prayer, and I can stand here today and thank God in heaven He didn't. Because I'd have a whole new ministry. It'd be in the prison. Carson Paul's a one-of-a-kind, and you only need one-of-a-kind with him. That's why I wasn't a twin. Now, these two sweethearts over here, they're a doll. So it says here, there was this widow, and she kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. If there's anything I know about women is that we can just flat out wear somebody out. Amen. That's right. My husband just gave the biggest amen. Look here. He ain't lying. So, he goes on to say, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So the first myth that we've talked about is this right here. Always pray. Always pray. God didn't appoint you judge over how your life is going to go. The moment you gave your life to him, he calls the shots. And guess what? God can do whatever he wants to with a person that's yielding and say, God, you have your way with me. God, your will be done and not my will. Because you know what? There are things that by all indication aren't going to go good in your life. But you know what? God's not looking at how you're seeing the situation. God can see things that you cannot see. And in an instant, he can turn things around and make them for your good. So you don't need to be discouraged and think that you can't pray and talk to God. You need to. You need to talk to God and you need to pray. The word says, always pray and don't give up. Always pray and don't give up. See, God's looking for a person that says, I'm not going to give up. Come hell or high water, God, you have never given up on me. So God, in Jesus' name, make me a faithful person. God, I'm not giving up. See, whatever God has showed you that he's going to do for you, that will surely come to pass. Now, it may not happen when you want it to. How many of you know God's not on your time clock? He's not. But I promise you, he won't be late. God's never been late. Go with me now to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 12. There is a saying in Celebrate Recovery meetings that I love, and it goes like this. Keep coming back because it works if you work it, and it won't if you don't, and you're worth it. I'm going to say that one more time because that is a tongue twister. It took me like 3 or 4 years to know that. Keep coming back because it works if you work it, and it won't if you don't, and you're worth it. You could apply that to prayer. Keep on praying. You know how many prayers God is waiting for people to lift up to him? You know how many Christians have gotten tired of praying? Because they're so weary. Maybe something's been a certain way for such a long time. See, the devil will deceive you and he'll make you think that something's going to always be that way. Let me tell you something. No storm lasts forever. If you've got something going on in your life and it's wearing you out, like this judge was saying, oh, I don't want her wearing, look here, God's not going to let it wear you out. Will he cause it to let you grow? Yeah. But look here, God's not letting anything wear you out. He's not going to let something be the end of you. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Y'all say that with me. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Prayer should be a habit. They say it takes 21 days to make a habit. Prayer should be a habit of yours. Prayer should be something that you do. You know, I can tell that God's changed me because the way that I pray about things are some things I would never even pray about to begin with. I used to think, maybe I need to get off Facebook. Then I thought, no, that's my source of free entertainment. I ain't going to get rid of my free entertainment. Well, then I would see things on Facebook as God began to change my heart and change my life with certain things. I begin to scroll and I would see things. You know, we all scroll. And then I would scroll back. And I would look at something and I'd see people being ugly to people being bullies, all sorts of things. People hurting, people being diagnosed with all manner of things. You know, everybody will put all their business out on Facebook. Let me just tell you a divine revelation. Nobody needs to know all your business. They do not need to know when you're going to the bathroom. They don't. Okay? Now, I can't give you a chapter and verse for that, but that's just common sense. But there have been times, and so often, I've seen some things on Facebook, and I've just put my hand over that situation and begin to pray. You know, about 4 or 5 years ago, heck, I don't know. Melissa, how long have you gone to church here? 5 years. Before Melissa ever started coming to church here, she bought a T-shirt off of me. Now, this is how God will work. And she didn't know I was a pastor. She said, I would have never guessed. You're just a little blonde-headed girl. I just thought you made T-shirts. It doesn't bother me. I'm not one of those people, everybody needs to change what they're doing because the pastor just walked in the door. No, you just keep doing what you're doing because I want to see how you are. And Melissa, she said, is there anything that I could pray about? I thought, well, this is great. I just sold a T-shirt to somebody that is a Christian and they pray. Well, at that time, my mother had been diagnosed with cancer. And I said, I want you to pray for my mom, Millie. And she would touch bases with me, Melissa, what about every month? Well, Sister Millie's been cancer-free for a few years now. But I want to tell you something. Always pray. Always pray. God has the ability to change every circumstance in your life. God has the ability to take that diagnosis that you've been gotten and blot it out and give you a clean bill of health. See, God has that ability. Not only does he have the ability, but he's already paid the price for it. Is there anything that's too hard for God? No, there isn't. But the Word of God says this right here, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Now, I'm not saying that prayer is just a wish list of yours, because it's not. And let me tell you something. If you're a selfish prayer and all of your prayers have to do with your four and no more and God, gimme, 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 and you never think about anybody but yourself, there's some room in your life for you to grow, because your life is not your own. And God is constantly trying to get people to focus on somebody else besides their self. And when he can find somebody that will do that, he takes that person and he just keeps on elevating them in life. Because you know how rare it is for people to think about somebody besides themselves? Very rare. Very rare. But we should be faithful in prayer. Prayer should be a habit. You need to develop and fine-tune your prayers. There's been times in a situation where I've been so weary, I would say, God, I don't know what to pray, but give me the prayer. Well, God will put the prayer right in your mouth when you don't know what to do about a situation. He'll put it there. But prayer should be a habit. Prayer should be something that you're faithful to. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 18. I have an 8-year-old son. I have a 12-year-old and I have an 8-year-old. And I just think that both of those boys hung the moon, as any mother thinks about her kids. But there's something extremely special about my Coco. And that kid can pray. And when he prays, he is so full of faith for whatever he's praying about. And it's so pure and it's so tender. And he prays every single night. And, you know, you can learn a lot of things from little kids. I've seen him pray before. and just compassion just begin to flow over that little boy. And I've seen him lay his hands on people and just begin to weep and beg for God to move in their life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you will be faithful in your prayer life, I cannot stress to you enough just how important it is to be faithful to God, faithful in prayer. God's not sick of hearing you. There's people, and you feel like, I've had to say this prayer so many times. I've had to pray for my kids so many times. I have asked God, God, move in this situation. I feel like I've asked Him too much. That's a myth. That's a myth. Pray. There are times where I've had to pray something many, many times because I didn't have a peace about it. There are situations that come up in your life and they disturb you. They cause you grief. They cause you anxiety. They cause you to worry. Pray those things through. Pray them through. Pray them from the part where the anxiety about them starts and where the peace of God ends. Pray those things through. There's been situations where I've had to just start and just say, God, I'm full of stress about this, but Lord, I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on going. Right around the end, when I felt the peace about it, my prayers shifted to a different type of prayer. Where there was a stress and anxiety on the front end, on the back end over here, I would say, God, thank you. Lord, I pray that prayer of faith. And God, I'm not asking you to do it anymore because God, I know that you've already done it. So Lord, I'm praying a different prayer. And that prayer is, thank you, God. Lord, is there anybody that I can bless today? God, is there anything that I can do for you today? God, how can I serve you today? See, it's not that you stop praying about a situation. It's that the prayers begin to shift and they begin to evolve into different types of prayer. In the beginning of our food ministry, 4.5 years ago, I said, God, all I want is to be able to help the single parents in the church. Lord, that's all I'm asking you for. I thought that was a great prayer. Well, God did that within a month or two. Well, I thought, well, I'm happy. All the single parents, they're good. Well, see, God said, well, I want to do something else besides that. You know how much the prayer over the food ministry has evolved over the past 4.5 years? So much. God will tell you, the devil will tell you, oh, don't pray that prayer. Look here. God wants to hear what you're asking Him for. And let me tell you another myth. And this is straight up stupidity and right from the pit of hell. Well, God knows my heart, and I don't have to pray. Look here. That's dumb. Okay? Now, if that offends you, you're going to have to get over that because there is no other way to describe that than just dumb. Yes, God knows your heart. But the Word of God says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You need to hear yourself pray for something, and you need to get down real deep inside of you on your worst day. You got to have that faith that says, you know what, it doesn't matter that this doesn't look good. I'm not going by what it looks like because I got the faith that this is going to happen. I've done prayed this through. See, you need to hear yourself ask for God to do something. You need to hear that because look here, you're going to get that faith deep down inside of you. And on your worst day, when the whole situation looks like it's all foregone and it's just going down the tube, look here, there's going to be something that rises up inside of you because, see, the Word says that every word written in the Bible is living and it's active. It's living and it's active. When you begin to pray the Word over your life, you know how many times, I can't even tell you how many prayers that I have prayed over the Manna Center. Here's my latest one. There's some things that I've prayed through on that. And the prayer that I'm in right now is, Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. So, Lord, I'm going to stand in faith. See, God's not asking you to stress over something only He can do. I'm going to say that one more time. Somebody, you need to hear that. God's not asking you to stress over something that only He can do. God's not asking you to stress and worry and make yourself sick over things that only God can do. A lot of this worry that we got going on up inside of us, causing us turmoil, we're worried about things, Kayla, that what good is it going to do us to worry about them? We can't do them even if we wanted to, but God can. There's no reason for us to stress about the things only God can do. So be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. When you see something that troubles you, pray. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, that's not something you should be ashamed of. That's something that you should be exercising and you should be praying. You know how long I've prayed to see Mary Baker at the front of this church praying in tongues? It's been a few years. And you know what? When I saw that this morning, that just got all over me. Because let me tell you something. The devil gets you feeling like you don't even need to pray about it. Let me tell you something. When you feel like you don't need to pray about something or you don't need to pray in the Spirit, that's when you probably should the most. See, God wants to move in your life. God loves you. God's not mad at you. So many people that I've ministered to at the jail, they say, Pastor Kelly, God is so mad at me. I walked in there last time I was in there, and a little girl, she just wept. The moment that door opened and I walked in there, she just began to weep. And I said, are you saved? She goes, I'm away from God right now. I've been messing up. I've been doing wrong. I said, look here, honey. We all done wrong. And just because you done wrong doesn't mean that you're not saved. See, the devil will talk you out of your salvation every turn you can go. You get mad and you stub your toe and you say a bad word. There's some people that think they ain't saved if they do that. Let me tell you something. Don't be at my house if I stub my toe or something. That's all I want to tell you. Or if Lulu leaves a little present for me. I don't feel not saved if I step out of line. I just say, God help me. I've been in the flesh. Look here. My salvation cost a lot. Your salvation cost a lot. It's not taken from you every time you messed up. But look here. If you feel something, that's probably conviction. You need to pray and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for that. There's times where I'll say something maybe mean or something to Frank. Maybe. And I'll say, God, forgive me. Then he'll say, well, go ask Frank to forgive you. Oh, God. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, Kel, how many of your prayers do you want all hindered up because you flowing and jiving and jiving with your husband? Well, Lord, all my prayers are pretty important. I really don't want that to happen. So we're talking about prayer mist. And let me tell you something. Pray in the Spirit. When you see something that bothers you or hurts your heart, pray about it. You don't have to know people to pray for them. And if you're nosy, how many of you will admit to being nosy? You just got a little strand of nosiness up in you. Okay, good. I'm glad we got some honest folks. Because I think everybody's a little bit nosy. If you like to get on that mobile patrol, Brother Larry's back there shaking his head. Pastor's done gotten a meddling. But let me tell you something. If you're that nosy, where you get on the mobile patrol or the sheriff's website and you just got to see who's up in the clinker, I'm going to ask you to do something. Because, see, God wants to use the nosiness. If you're going to be that nosy, then you need to turn that to market for Jesus. When you're looking at somebody, you need to put your hand over that picture and you need to pray. Because let me tell you something. I didn't know this till I began to minister. I'm their chaplain director and have been for a few years now. They're just people. And they've made a mistake. How many of you ever made a mistake? They're just people. And you know what? You're just a person yourself. And it's very important that we pray for people. Another prayer miss. Well, that person did a number 10, and I ain't praying for them. Look here, you don't get to pick and choose who should get a prayer and who shouldn't. God sets it for you to pray for somebody. You know, God will ask you to pray for somebody you don't like. Probably more often than you want to. You need to pray for that person. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for them. The people that you got a grudge against, the people that have hurt you, pray for them. And pray for yourself. Ask God to help you to love them. It's not easy to love somebody that's hurt you. It's not easy to love somebody that's done you wrong. It's not easy to forgive them. But God's asking you to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. See, the devil will try to say all this stuff to you. Well, God's far away from you. Look here, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. See, God wants to hear what your petitions are. God wants to hear your requests. God wants to hear. How many of you, when you had kids, or maybe you still do, you ask them, what do you want for Christmas? Y'all ask your kids that? You did? How many of you get enjoyment when you hear what they want? I like to hear what my kids want. I like to hear them. Paul's going, no, I don't. Maybe when we get 90, we'll get sick of hearing them, but I like to hear them. I'll give Coco the catalog that they send out from Walmart, and I'll, baby, just start circling that stuff. Now, do I get it all? No. But I want to know what he's into. God wants to hear you. God wants to hear you. He wants to have conversations with you. He wants to hear what your petitions are. But in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. If something's bothering you, pray about it. Because see, there's a promise in the Word of God that happens after you do that. It says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want for you to be full of anxiety. And you're talking to somebody that suffers from anxiety, and I'm telling you, that's not what God has for you. God wants you to have that peace. There's times where you're going to just have to pray some things through, and that prayer is going to, it may start out anxious, but at the end of your battle, you're going to be praying some solid, faith, faith-filled prayers. Get to that point. Pray it through. Pray it through. Pray it through, and when you have a peace about it, then that's when that prayer shifts and you begin to thank Him. Thank Him. Last place for me this morning, James chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm going to read it in the King James now. Confess your faults one to another. Look here. All that I'm fine, you're fine. Oh, everything's great. Quit lying. Because see, one day you're going to tell that lie one too many times and you're going to think that everything's good. Look here, if it ain't good, then stop calling it good. That's how people get confused. If something needs more prayer, don't be sitting there saying, oh, everything's just great. Well, you know what? No. Pray that thing through. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not a perfect person. Not one that's done everything right. Not one that wears makeup. Not one that's always got their hair on point. Not one that wears the right brand of shoes. Not one that lives on this part of town. A righteous man. A righteous man, a righteous woman. When God told me what to preach last night, He said, Kelly, tell my kids to bring their petitions to me and to begin to ask for the things that they think are too big. There isn't anything that's too big for God or too hard for God. But you truly have not because you ask not. Ask God for the big thing. Ask God for His will. Ask God for the thing that you think, well, that could never happen. No, it could. Ask God for it. Now, we have got a very special moment, a very holy moment. Sweetheart, get me that chair behind the piano. Y'all stretch your hands towards that piano. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for musicians to come to this church and God specifically one to sit right behind that piano. God, I ask, Lord, that you draw them in. Lord, if they're already here, God, I thank you that you're giving them that confirmation, God, and you're putting that inside of them. But Lord, I thank you that that seat is filled with that. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to have, we'll just set that right there. Miss Barbara Keller is a very dear, dear friend of mine, and she is one of my favorite folks, and I love her so much, and she said, Pastor, will you baptize me? I said, well, I sure will. When would you like to be baptized? As soon as I can. I said, well, how does Sunday sound to you? Sunday sounds great. You know, when you're baptized, the word describes baptism. It's like when Christ was crucified and he rose from the dead. You know, when we go down in that water and we come back up, or when that water is put over us, you start new and you start fresh. Your old self is dead. Your new self is what you're getting. So Miss Barbara, if you will come up here, and her family will probably want to take pictures. And sweetie, get my phone. I want to make sure we get a good picture of Miss Barbara. How many of y'all love Barbara's shoes? I do too. She loves all of us. And Barbara ain't always had everything easy. Amen. All right. Y'all begin to pray. How many of you love Miss Barbara?
Amen.
I love her too so much. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Barbara. God, I tell this body to line up with the word of God right now in Jesus' name, and I call her healed by your stripes. And Lord, right now I baptize Barbara Keller in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
Not everybody can say that they got baptized right there in their church service.
Right. And I want to say something.
I want you to.
I know that I've learned this from Kelly, that Jesus knows my name. He knows my name is Barbara. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I put all my trust in him. And I know that he has prepared a place for me. And I know that I will see my son, Jody Misling, in heaven one day with all of my family. Yes.
Amen. I believe God's going to honor that. Y'all give God a hand. Do you have anything else you want to say, Ms. Barbara?
I thank y'all all for witnessing my baptism. You know, I'm 80 years old, and I have not been baptized that I can remember. But this makes me feel good, and I'm going to try and be a new person. Yes, yes.
Amen. Well, Ms. Barbara, I tell you, I got a little confession to make. The word just said, confess your faults. Well, here was a fault of mine. I, since I've been the pastor, did not fill out any baptism certificates since 2021. And I had to go back and look at every pool party we've ever had while I was the pastor and go through all them pictures, and I thought, Lord, help me to be more on the ball and more punctual. Because some of these folks, they done forgotten that they were baptized and they're asking me to baptize them again. And Barbara, you're my first shot at becoming better at that because I've already got yours filled out. You make sure I give it to you. All righty, y'all stand to your feet. If you don't like to have fun in church or you don't like to laugh, come see me after church. I need to pray a special prayer for you. That's a joke, folks. Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done in this service. Lord, everybody that's traveling, God, I ask that you give them traveling mercies. God, bring them back to their homes safely. God, we thank you for everything that you've done in this service. Lord, every heart that you've changed. God, and we thank you for just being a good God to us, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.